Congress needs to do is that even if states create pardons, there's still people that are still going to be impacted because the federal barriers have not been changed, right? So governors are, you know, with governors, we really want them to expeditiously move pardons forward, but we recognize that a lot of that is going to be impacting communities of color, but we really need the federal government to remove the barriers now. If the president understands that cannabis legalization or cannabis regulation or cannabis prohibition has created barriers for people getting access to housing, employment, housing, benefits, and really, and for us, we're including the conversation of deportation and detention, let's not only have the conversation of the descheduling of cannabis, but also let's have the conversation of changing the administrative barriers that are impeding people from being full participants in society.
Well, Cassandra Frederick, clearly we have a lot more to talk about, but we have no more time today. Executive Director of the Drug Policy Alliance, a national nonprofit fighting to end the so-called war on drugs. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for two full-time jobs, an associate digital editor, and a people and culture manager. You can go to democracynow.org to learn more and apply. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the stunning, the brilliant, the radiating, the visible, because we're in fog weather, Althea.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for that introduction. I hope I can live up to it this early in the morning.
It's fogged. It's all fogged up.
Yeah. How are you doing? The fog on the way here. Yeah. My goodness.
Thick.
It's thick. You know, there's all of those legends about what happens in the fog.
Stays in the fog.
Yeah, it's disorienting.
Turn
your lights on. I'll say that. How about that?
But not the high beams.
Not the high beams.
Even though I know it's difficult to see, but the high beams will make it worse.
Yeah.
Any other safety advice out there for the peoples?
It's following traffic signals is always a good kind of thing to think about doing.
It does smell a little bit like burning tires also.
Yeah.
I don't know if people are like sliding from not seeing each other or if someone's just burning some tires.
Well,
but it's stinky out there.
A little column A.
Yes, it is foggy, but we are here unfogged and we can see clearly.
Yeah. ear. Just a little bit of Foley work for you folks.
A little bit of that.
This is The Gap Talk Radio on Fridays here at KBOO Portland. We like to do a two-parter type of show, Tammy and I. In the first half, oftentimes we'll have activist advocate interviews or we'll do kind of a news roundup to give you some thoughts on things that are happening in and around us here. And then in the second half, we like to do our community questions. So stick around for the second half if you want to call in and chat with us. We're not revealing that yet, obviously, so you got to wait and see. But there is an opportunity to talk to us. Yes, yes, later in the show.
A lot of interesting things have been happening. We just heard kind of at the tail end of Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman talking about Moore and the recent, I guess, statement would be the right way to go about it. The statement from Joe Biden about granting pardons for marijuana possession charges for, oh my God, I read that and I was like, this is huge. And then, of course, I had to be like, okay, read the fine print. What does this actually mean?
Yeah. I got the little news alert on my phone, and I was like, let's go. That's wild. Good for you. Good for us. Good for everybody.
And on October 6th, he asked me what day it was. So this does, so far, and I'm just really pessimistic when it comes to things like this, just because it's very obvious. You know, you have, let's say, for example, even in our state, you have people who are rolling millions and are, you know, they have multiple shops, you know, cannabis shops, and they have like multiple employees and they're paying taxes and everything on it, while other people for doing the same exact thing are in prison. So this is where a little bit of that cynicism comes from. But this is kind of big, although there is a lot of caveats and details that include kind of what we heard, that this would only pertain to all U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents who at the time of the offense were citizens or lawfully permanent residents. So that is not liberty for all.
No.
So let's just wake that up real quick. And he did have, I think, Althea, you were saying that you were kind of pleased to see kind of actionable items for the states.
Yeah, I think that well, for one thing, I think that it's like, it's very easy to be cynical, I guess, about this. Like, oh, it doesn't impact that many people. Well, it does impact those people, and it impacts people with possession offenses in the District of Columbia. Like, that's a big deal. And the other thing to think about is that, you know, by urging governors to do the same thing, by starting at the federal level, it does make it easier for governors to make those kinds of pardons. And that is where the lion's share of folks who are in jail for possession or who have possession on their record, that's the majority of folks. So if governors take that on, that's thousands and thousands more folks getting out or getting their records clean and making their lives easier. And when it comes from the White House, it also, you know, makes it less of a, you know, progressive, really like liberal thing to do, letting people out or whatever. It's like, no, the president did it first. But I, like you were saying, I also appreciate that it like sets out this path that there, you know, is an intention to figure out how do we deschedule this, which granted, I'm sure like advocacy groups have done this work many times. Decades. Over many years ago. Yeah. But it is heartening to see that there is action being taken to deschedule it, and that, you know, more political pressure, more movement, definitely more pressure on the Senate to pass the Moore Act to federally legalize marijuana. I think that it's, there's energy behind it, and I think that like people, it's okay to be excited about it. I guess that's what
I get scared, especially around the midterm. I'm like,
all
right, what do you need? My firstborn? What's up?
Get the people jazzed up, you know?
And it is, I want to say, you know, what you're saying, it's another example of how the trickle down effect is not what happened here, you know? This is decades upon decades of people fighting for this, people being jailed, people being murdered for this. And it doesn't, I will die on the hill of, it doesn't trickle down and permeates up, you know?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be for the work of all the advocacy work and, you know, the sacrifices that people have had to endure that this is coming into play. So I'm cautiously, I don't even want to say, I'm not even talking about it anymore.
You don't say anything.
We're say nothing.
We can be glad to see it and be waiting for the full meal deal.
Yes.
You know, don't stop now.
I'm like this.
She's twiddling her thumbs.
Oh, no, I thought you're not supposed to twiddle your thumbs.
What is this?
intimidating.
Oh, intimidating. I think it's like when you kind of...
Oh, like this.
Like you push all your fingers against each other. This is becoming a like visual conversation that I can't imagine is good for the radio listener.
But speaking of visual...
Okay, go for it.
We can go on to our second story, which is kind of silly, but also like, don't do this. Mm-hmm. This is a warning. A warning to all. I saw this and I couldn't believe that it was real. I saw this meme and it, or this infographic on the internet, and it said that a couple had dyed a waterfall blue for their gender reveal. And I thought that must be clickbait, and I clicked on it because I'm like, who would do this? No, it is in fact true. And Althea so gracefully reminded me, wait, isn't water already blue?
it's a town's water supply that they poisoned, question mark?
They did get the this has happened in Brazil, and there is like the Water and Nature Association did go to see like what's up, because people had alerted them to this, so they went to see what's up, and luckily there weren't any, like, you know, fish weren't there wasn't any fish mortality, there wasn't nothing changed in the water, so it was still fine. It was just kind of like, why would you do this? Completely inconsiderate. The impact on nature, the water supplies of people, why would you do this?
Yeah.
No one cares about your baby. I'm sorry.
Gender reveals, man. I mean, look, I'm not one to discredit entirely the idea of theatrics or that revealing something can't be fun, but people, it's just this like one-upsmanship on gender reveals, I think, in particular. Like, soon to be moms are deep in the sauce on Pinterest. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that like some people made basically a homemade cannon and killed their grandma at a gender reveal. I'm sorry.
Is it serious?
Yeah, that's serious. Yeah, they like it was like not obviously welded properly, and there was like a mortar in it that was supposed to like explode in the color.
It is not that serious.
It's not worth it.
Obsessed with gender. We are obsessed.
And for what? You know?
Nothing. It's very like imposing. It's Jesus. I don't know. It's a very strange thing.
Yeah. And so that for like a couple more months you can like impose your patriarchal ideals of what your kid's going to be like? I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm not into it. I actually, I got this article from people.com, and in the clickbait, I don't know, they got me. I was doing research. I was doing research for the episode. And apparently there is a woman who supposedly calls herself the person who invented the gender reveals in 2008. And she says that she's very regretful of doing it because of how much it emphasizes the gender binary.
Totally.
And also apparently killing grandma and poisoning water supplies.
Yeah, I think people just need to get a little bit more. And the other thing is, like, what can we do a gender reveal that doesn't create so much waste? You know, because even sometimes it's like, what, like hitting a clay baseball that's like filled with dust, or like, you know, party poppers, or popping balloons filled with confetti. Let's think about the theatrics and the drama. I'm all for that, but without creating waste or harming people or environments.
I like that. I like that that challenge that you're putting out there for the people. Yeah,
I think it takes a little bit of extra effort to pull that together. And look, people want to gather. People want to have the drama and the attention of their friends and family. I'm sympathetic to that. But let's have it be for a different occasion. Is my thing.
And there's lots of ways to celebrate that. Just be a little bit more intentional, I guess, and just a little bit more aware of the world outside of the tip of your nose, you know? Mm-hmm. Which...
Put together a costume party. Do a relay race. Obstacle courses for adults. Let's talk about it. You can,
like, be like, all right, I'm putting...
I was going to say run for office.
I was going to say run for charity, but instead of the charity, it can be for, like, the baby college fund or something.
Oh, I kind of like that idea.
Boom. Got him.
Yeah. Just a couple of childless ladies.
I know, right?
Never understand telling you what to do.
I got an Esther. Oh, and yeah. We can, God, can you imagine if someone did that? I'm not even going to give any ideas, but gosh,
I mean, just turning on the tap in the morning.
It's like, this is blue.
Water is already blue.
Funny.
You know, here's a water's here's a blue. Here's an eco-friendly gender reveal. Look at the sky. That's the that's the gender of our baby. And then if you do it at sunset, maybe it's a girl. I don't know.
Ooh.
Mm. I don't know. I don't know, man. Just
if we're gonna go down that binary, at least make it less dangerous.
Less dangerous and wasteful. And yeah, take the challenge to get creative.
Yes. And cannons are, I mean, that's creative.
Yeah, no homemade cannons, please.
No homemade cannons. Yes. And now we can move on to the last few parts of our morning roundup, which is focusing on local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the midterms are about, so
rubbing my hands.
The people are. Wait, I have one for you if you
want.
Okay,
yeah, please, no, do it.
All right.
Yeah.
Little Matthew McConaughey's.
A little bit. Not the context you told me that you were going
to
use that.
I know, I just wanted to show you I have it.
I'm glad to hear it, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the pack? Or do you want to start with the?
Let's talk about the charter.
The part two of this charter.
So last week, folks, if you missed it, we interviewed Damon Mott Story from Portland United for Change, which is the advocacy group pushing for the yes on Measure 26228, the Portland Charter Change Amendment. Had a great interview with them. Highly recommend that folks check it out. kbu.fm/thegap. You can listen to the first half of our show from last week. But what if I told you not everyone on city council is on board?
They got their own ideas.
Or they said that they were, you know, 2 years ago when this process started, and then now. Mingus Maps, folks, says he will vote no on the charter amendment. And he says, well, I'm going to have my own idea. And we knew this for about a month. They're like, okay, Mingus is voting no. And he says he's going to come up with an alternative. He's brought it out in front of folks now with his pack. I believe it's called Ulysses. And
well, that's a red flag for me. Go ahead.
But yes, he's has an alternative proposal to change the Portland City Charter that he would ask City Council to vote to put on the May 2023 ballot if the current charter amendment does not pass. So there's a few important distinctions. Do you want to talk about them, or you want me to talk about them?
Yeah, sure. So there's the original proposal, or the one that you're going to be seeing in November, and that's a charter review, is going to expand City Council from 4 commissioners to 12 in 4 districts, mm-hmm. and a mayor to oversee the city with less power as a city manager to oversee city bureaus and handle the admin work. And it's there's like some similarities, except yeah. for in Mingus's plan, except there's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, he agrees that the commission system that we have right now is dysfunctional and bad. So I love that. I'm definitely on board that is something that we need to get rid of. But don't tell me about the rest of his plan, please.
Yes, thank you. So the plan, which is a little bit, which is a little similar. So City Council will focus on policy making, and there will be a mayor elected citywide to run day-to-day operations with the help of a professional city admin to oversee the bureaus. And then the mayor would have veto power.
Mm-hmm.
So like king.
King mm-hmm. stuff, yeah.
And the city would be divided into 7 single-member districts as opposed to 4 multi-member districts. Yeah. So it's... oh, right, and regular ranked choice voting that requires at least 50% of the vote to win, unlike the 25 required in the November ballot suggestion.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, yeah, there's a couple things to break down about that. Mm-hmm. One... Mm-hmm. Bad vibes. Can that be one of my critiques? Bad vibes that, because I just want to stress that, like, this charter review process started in 2020. Each of our city councilors, like, appointed 4 people to be a part of it. And they worked for 2 years mm-hmm. researching, collecting data, talking to people in the city about what they needed, doing surveys and stuff. They talked to, like, over 500 community members and interested people in this whole process. And what they came up with is something that fixes the commission process and also would enable marginalized and underrepresented groups of Portlanders, whether that's the part of the city that you live in or like the identity groups that you're in, being able to have a direct seat, direct representation on the city council. And we talked about this with Damon Montstory last week, that like no matter how you draw the districts in Portland, because of the history of racial redlining and exclusion, there isn't a single district that you could draw that would be majority minority, which is one way that historically trying to get underrepresented groups direct representation, that's one way to go about it, is having a majority minority district. So Mingus kind of throws all of that out to create 7 single member districts. And it's like, and his main argument is that it's too much change too fast.
Yeah, that's the thing that just, I think my opinion or my thought, my question is, does Mingus Mapp just think that we're all idiots?
That is,
because it kind of sounds like he thinks that we're silly.
Because it's not engaging with whether or not it's a good idea.
It's not saying this is a bad idea
that will have bad outcomes. He's not saying that. And I think if he did say that, we would be having a different conversation.
Sure.
But no, he's saying it's too much change. Why is it too much change? Is this not the right change to make? Is there a different change that we should do? Or it's just, you can't handle it. I feel like it's infantilizing in a way that Portland voters couldn't figure out how to like rank that they have the candidates from their district. This is how it would work if they passed. You got like 6 candidates. There's one that you really like, and then there's 2 that are okay and definitely better than the guys that you don't like. You rank them in order, and all of them will be able to reap the benefit of that, you know?
We don't even have to describe. That's what we saw what happened last election for mayor. With a write-in campaign.
Yeah.
So imagine if it was that, but like just on the table, you know, like an actual option. And to say, and this is what I said last time. It's like who hurt us so much that to make us think that we aren't worthy of having representation, that we aren't worthy to have nice things. Like who said, oh, this is too much for you? You won't understand it. As a person who's been told that so many times from people from a place of racism and sexism, it just boils my blood, you know? You know what? If people don't understand this, then have teach-ins and teach them.
Sure.
Then make infographics and teach them. Just like the folks that have been doing this work for so long do and have done. And it's a... Oh no! This is a quote from Mingus Mapp: a radical departure from what Portlanders are used to. You know, people are also used to slavery. Okay, people are also used to segregation. People are also used to polio. You know, get out of here.
I mean, and also that like those are the same kind of arguments of like it's too complicated for your frail little mind to understand was part of the reason that they didn't want women to vote.
Exactly.
It's part of the reason that they didn't want Black folks to vote is because it's going to be too overwhelming. And I think the important thing to acknowledge about the current charter amendment, so the one that Mingus doesn't like, is that it is a more democratic system. It is more representative, and it gives people more of a voice to move Portland in the direction that they want. Mingus Mapp's proposal includes a few crucial anti-democratic things. And granted, our current system is pretty anti-democratic, but including veto power for the mayor... Why would that be necessary?
Is he the president? What's going on?
I mean, the veto was invented to basically... It's part of all of the things that come from the federal government level that they're like, hey, we can't let the poors get too much power. We need a couple of emergency buttons that we can press if the poors get too uppity, you know? And to invest that much power into one person as opposed to having to build consensus amongst a whole city... That it makes me feel frustrated. And just because we're used to the idea of a veto on the presidential level doesn't mean that it would work here or be necessary.
And we've just seen how, like, for example, you know, the current mayor wasn't really elected. It was kind of like...
Was not the majority of Portlanders voted for.
So... what about if this happens again, you know? So now you have this person who wasn't actually elected by the majority of people to veto what the people want. Get out of here. That sounds ridiculous. Yeah. Also, you know, I think sometimes with these things, I wonder, what would politicians have to lose if non-politicians come into the equation?
Right.
Let's not pull on that thread before we'll all be flopping
Don't pull on that thread, the whole sweater will unravel and then we're naked or something like that.
And then we just make the whole thing awkward for everyone. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's something to also take into consideration. What would it look like if everyday people, activists, you know, advocacy workers, like,
yeah,
if they got into a space where they can actually represent, you know, people and who they work with and for.
Right. And yeah. And just that because the mayor sort of inevitably will be elected citywide, that means that more money equals more elections when you're running a citywide election. That's part of the reason that districts are so important as well, is that, you know, not only is it somebody that is from a specific community, from your district, that has, you know, the same vested interest in fixing the roads that somebody across town in the West Hills probably doesn't have.
82nd.
Exactly. Cough, cough. But also that it's a lower barrier to entry because you're not having to run a whole citywide campaign. And I mean that Damon talked about this last week too, that just like it took enormous grassroots effort to elect Joanne Hardesty, for example, and that, you know, activists, advocates who have like a history in the community, who are connected to issues, like it shouldn't be that it's like so it requires like such enormous work to have their representation on the council. And I also think there's like an element of like the charter review was like an enormous community effort.
Sure.
And that was put together by folks who worked really hard for a couple of years. And to look at the result of that and decide that it doesn't like meet your standards, I feel like is, I don't know. I don't know what kind of, like, I don't know. I guess, look, I'm not a politician. I assume it has to take some kind of ego to want to have any part of that, really. But,
and I don't know, to kind of, like, low-key plagiarize and then just add, like, a huge thing take away the spirit of the charter review of, like, democracy and then, you know, kind of, like, use the building block of it, but, like, suck the spirit out of it and make it kind of,
I just think that
antithesis almost.
Yeah, antithesis, totally. And just I think that it's important for us to be skeptical when we have forces that are in political power indicating that they're not okay with democracy or proportional representation, which is a more democratic, or moving towards proportional representation, which is a more democratic system than the U.S. employs for the most part, right? Which would allow for more like third party representation, yada yada yada. I don't need to get into the theory.
There's very clear evidence all around us that what has been, you know, what has been instituted is just not working anymore. So a change is definitely a coming.
Yes, totally.
And come November in the midterms, you know, we will see what the good people decide.
Yes.
Is it November 8th?
November 8th, yeah. And I think we got 10 more days for folks to register to vote if you have not already. There's a couple very exciting things on the ballot. And you know what? When we're talking about encouraging people to vote, you don't got to vote on everything on the ballot. If you don't have an opinion about the school board, you don't have to vote on that one. And also because, you know, I think it also feels kind of bad to vote on something that you don't feel like you have enough information about. You don't want to feel like you made the wrong decision. If there's just a couple issue areas that you are interested in voting on, that's also an okay way to go about it. I don't feel like anybody would be mad at you for doing that, you know?
And speaking of election time.
Please, yes. Talk to me about, we got an addendum story.
Oh my goodness. I looked in the internet yesterday. I couldn't believe it. So
yeah, Tammy got riled up.
a new pack by Kevin Looper of People for Oregon.
For Portland.
People of Portland. It says Portland right there. I don't know where I'm going with it.
No, that's fine.
And city hall race loser, Vadim Monansky. I don't know.
Mazursky.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
have created a pack. So they launched a new pack. It's mostly aimed to back Renee Gonzalez. And this is the same Renee Gonzalez that was getting the office space and two parking spots in downtown Portland for $250.
Yeah. A 96% discount for downtown real estate.
From the Snitzer family. Was it someone specifically from the Snitzer Foundation?
Oh, Jordan
Foundation?
Snitzer. He's the one that owns the building. Yeah.
Oh, my. So this is the same Renee Gonzalez. So now this is...
Challenging Hardesty, I should say.
Yeah, yes. Sorry, yeah. Yes. Challenging Hardesty. And this is really problematic. My new mantra for the year, I finally figured it out. And mine is smells like embezzlement.
Smells like embezzlement. Is that starting 2023 or is that starting now?
Oh, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Because famously, Gap listeners know Tammy's mantra for 2022 was somebody's getting sued. And she's been so right about that.
Before that, I think someone's going to jail.
Yeah, I don't know.
Some people went to jail. Or maybe now people are going to jail. I don't know. We'll see. But
sometimes things take time, you know?
This is a lot of money that people are playing with, you know?
Yeah.
This is so much. Where is this pack? I saw this on the Willamette Week, Sophie Peel. Great stuff by Sophie Peel, gotta say.
We like Sophie Peel on this show.
Yes.
Sophie Peel, Tess Risky, shout out to you guys.
yeah, go ahead. You want to?
Oh, I was just going to give a little bit of context for People for Portland, kind of. If you ever saw those ads that were like, don't you miss when Portland was just known for the airport carpet or something like
and
that.
And breweries.
Definitely some serious moneyed interests sort of trying to influence politics and, you know, strip away the humanity of folks involved in the housing and homeless crisis, mm-hmm. for example. That is definitely a part of what they've been doing, leaning on city council pretty heavily. And now
they've been co-signing all the aggressive moves that were done downtown.
Co-signing all of the sort of aggressive sweeps and harsh policies like that. So it is interesting to see the money coming together like that. And like we're talking about, you know, democratic norms and things, especially, Gonzalez got a $77,000 fine, a record fine from the city small donors election.
For that $250.
Fund. Yeah, for that 96% discounted real estate.
I hope the homeowner whose house I'm living in is hearing this. Apparently, we're giving 96% discounts.
And Gonzalez is trying to appeal that fine, which, mind you, is a record amount of money that they're asking for, because he's gotten like $350,000 from the small donor election fund, but you're not in the small donor election program if you're taking these. And he also didn't report it. I think people are getting lost in the weeds about whether or not someone giving someone office space is justifiable. It's whatever, but it's an in-kind contribution that you're not allowed to have in the program that he's a part of, because you're getting city money and taxpayer-funded campaign, and you didn't report it, so you knew it was wrong. I feel like that's part of it that kind of like gets lost, because people are like, what's so wrong with him having two parking spots downtown and a gorgeous office space for $250? What, are you some kind of hater? It's like, a little bit, sure. Accuse me of whatever you want, but fundamentally, we're also looking at somebody who's trying to benefit from city and taxpayer resources without obeying the rules that voters passed about it.
There was also, this is so infuriating. There's also the criticism from Gonzalez about Vadim not using, or for him not rebuking the independent expenditure campaign that was supporting his candidacy when he was running back in the springtime.
Interesting.
Which was composed, it says here, by the most powerful business people and real estate brokers in the city.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of money. I'm saying there's a lot of money being funneled into opposing Joanne Hardesty, which makes me think maybe Joanne Hardesty is onto something.
Yeah. What are we so afraid of?
Yeah.
They are shook.
They are shook.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, already there's like essentially a conservative majority on the Portland City Council with Wheeler, Ryan, and Maps. We don't hear from Carmen Rubio too much.
Carmen Rubio, I'm out of this mess. If, this doesn't
if you're out
to
there,
me.
Give us a sign. Yeah, I don't know how much we want to wax poetic on this, but I would. This was one of the things we were talking about yesterday, is just the amount of ire that women on city council seem to get, like a lot more like outsized hatred about their like individual personality that you never hear people talk about. It's like, oh, so you never hear them talk about a male candidate. It's like, yeah, he's just such a jerk. He's just kind of like rude and like hard to be around. I don't know. Maybe
that's most men I've been around.
Maybe that's
to be
a song for another time. But I mean, that's what they went after Hugh Daly for. That's what they're going after Hardesty for now.
The trumped up the charges by the police union.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that she was framed by the police union. Hello. But I don't blame Carmen Rubio for not wanting to get in front of everybody to sort of be sexist to her.
Sure, yeah. I am wondering where Dan Ryan is, though, because have you looked outside, you know? What is going on? They putting up... Anyways, more of this to come, and again, just really stressing that this is all of this work and all of this money and all of this weird, maybe sometimes immoral and questionable deeds and actions are being done to sway you, the voter, for the upcoming midterm elections in November.
Right.
And
right.
So I hope that with this information, you are somewhat armed to make the decision that you think will impact you, your family, and the community the best that it can.
Yeah, if I can say one more thing, just like the influence of big money in politics, I think like obviously that's a whole conversation unto itself, and that like Oregon has some of the most lax campaign finance rules in the state. Believe me, we've tried to undo that, but the big money comes out and says, no, we like the influence that we have. When you have like big money in politics is also fundamentally undemocratic.
Yes.
You should not be able to buy a city council seat. And the reason that this keeps the actual power is with the voters, you know? And so when we see all of this money being funneled in one way, I think it kind of indicates like, okay, voters maybe don't already agree with that. There's not actually support for what you're pushing for, but you pour in all of this money to like move that around, to discourage people from voting, to like spread misinformation, you know? That it becomes not the will of the people, it becomes the will of whoever has the most money to burn on a particular issue.
Sometimes it's not the will of the people, it's the fear of the people, you know?
Ooh, I thought you were going to say the won't of the people, but fear of
the won't of the people, the fear of the people.
We got tons of potential idioms here.
For sure.
Well, thank you for talking about this with me.
Thank you
all for listening to this, of course.
For sure. I guess we are going to go on a quick musical break, and then we'll be coming back with our community questions where we open up the phone lines to you, the listener. See you in a couple of moments.
See you in a bit.
Unfolds, challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day. Herald what your mother said, read the books your father read, trying to solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Some may have more cash than you, others take a different view.
We are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. You like that, Althea?
Yeah, me and Tammy were having too much fun grooving.
It's a little déjà vu. Gotta be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it.
That's good stuff.
You gotta be cool.
Did you want us to just do sort of a 2-minute rendition of what we just heard? Happy to. Anytime, people.
Here we are in our community question part 2. This is the part in which we open up the phone lines to you, the caller, or to you, the listener, to become a caller.
Mm.
And Althea, do you want to hit it with a community question?
Yes. Do you want me to explain why we do a community question?
Oh, yes, please do.
The community question. You know, we love to talk to people. We love to hear what you're thinking about. And every time we open up the phone lines, we hear from new folks. We learn new things that are going on with you. And that's really what we're focused on, and yeah, wanting to have a conversation, a community conversation that enriches us, that connects us. You know what I'm saying? That is what we're talking about, and we would love it if you would respond to this question. What is something that you thought you invented or came up with that ended up being somebody else's idea? Or on the opposite side of that, what is something that you thought everyone did that only you do?
That's good. That's a good question. I thought of the question, but yeah. It's still good. It's still good.
No, take credit. It's a good question. It's a great question.
It's a good question.
What are your thoughts on this? Oh, let me give the number. 503-231-8187.
Yes. The question of what's something you think that you invented that actually was someone else's idea, mm-hmm. or what's something you think everyone does, but actually you're the only one who does it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Nietzsche? Ever heard of that fella?
Sure. Are you a fan?
I'm not a fan. I'm just saying half of his ideas I've thought of before, and I'm like, oh, someone has thought of this. I don't know this. It's the whole thing about his whole thing about perspective,
uh-huh.
and how you can hold the tension and like be a hypocrite to yourself because you can look at different things from different perspectives, and people's perspectives won't necessarily meet eye to eye, no pun uh-huh. intended. A lot of
Nietzsche said books. That
in one of his books, yes.
Okay, wow.
Or in one of his, he also plagiarizes a lot.
I mean, I make it a rule to not read Nietzsche personally.
No, there's some interesting. Actually, a lot of we could talk about this offline, but there's a lot of great stuff was built on some of the stuff that he said, but. Yes, definitely one in depth. Your turn.
Okay. So, again, folks want to call in 503-231-8187. When I was thinking about this, one of the things that came to mind was this friend I had in elementary school. Her name was Rachel. I can say it. She had this electronic keyboard. And, you know, like, in sort of like that early 2000s way where you, like, play it and suddenly it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do. And she had this one piano song on there, and it was kind of groovy. And I was like, dang, Rachel, what's that song? And she's like, oh, I made it up. Like, I came up with this. Isn't it cool? She's like, yeah, I recorded it. That's why it's on here. Come to find out some years later, it's Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai. And I was like, wait a minute, I thought my friend Rachel made up this
wow.
song. It was just Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai on an electric keyboard. I don't know why she lied to me, but imagine my confusion as like an 8-year-old.
She said, this is a deep cut, you'll never know. That happens to me it happens to me at least twice a week with the chords for the song Creep by Radiohead.
Yeah.
Where I play and I was like, oh, wow, this is an amazing, this is beautiful. And then I'm like, I'm going to write lyrics for this. It's going to be so awesome. Then I'm like, wait, I'm just playing Creep by Radiohead.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it happens more often than I'd like to admit.
That's why Google is so important, you know?
Oh, Google. Yeah, so...
Search engine. Internet search engine.
That's what internet search is, yeah.
We're not branded on this show.
I don't know. If they're getting that Google money,
yeah.
And we can start our own pack.
Bing,
just
hello?
Just kidding.
Yahoo? Does Yahoo have a search engine? Probably. MSN. Give us a call.
Ask Jeeves.
Go ahead. Ask Jeeves, exactly.
So the community question again. What's something that you think that you invented or figured out or you think you made up that actually ended up existing or being someone else's idea or invention? Or what's something that you thought everyone does, but actually just you do it?
Yeah. Yes, and if you want to call in, 503-231-8187 is the number.
I think when you're a kid and you start kind of like figuring your body and like, you know, like, you know, start do the thing where you make like funny faces at the mirror and like figure out your body and like, you know, just you know what I mean when you get to that age. I always I didn't realize that everyone does like the funny faces. I thought it was just me, and I remember just thinking, I'm like, I was a kid, and I'm like, I'm possessed. That's why I do this. I didn't realize it was just like something that kids do.
Yeah, I remember like I discovered the underside of my tongue, and I was like,
ooh, that's a fun discovery.
Do you guys know about this? It's wild under there, and I never looked until I looked in this mirror. That's crazy.
503-231-8187 is the phone number for the community question.
It always is like a little jarring when you realize that something, so like the sort of inverse question of you thought that everybody understood what you were talking about and really it was just you. I have this with like idioms that my mom says that I would sort of repeat offhandedly to a friend, and they'll be like, wait, what? What did you say there? And I'm like, oh, you never heard that one before? That's something my mom says. You know, you don't want to tell tales out of school. Something about, oh, mailing it in. I had somebody who didn't know what mailing it in was. So maybe these are more common, and I'm just
like... Is that like phoning it in?
It is like phoning it in.
I've never heard mailing it in.
Mailing it in, it's like mailing in your resignation as opposed to quitting in person. I think that's what it's from.
Mail.
I mean, look, it's not, doesn't mean I'm going to stop saying it. Usually, I mean, the whole point of an idiom is that you can tell by context what we're talking about.
Sure.
But
I
yeah,
like when
it's
people
definitely,
don't get it. It's fine.
It's one of those things too, is like when you start to, when you like meet people in a fully different context than like the people that you normally see, or if you're like traveling or speaking another language, like realizing how much of speech and communication is like idioms and like little turns of phrase that are like, sometimes kind of difficult to translate to different situations.
Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started about that. And I think like the older, not to say the older the language, but the more that it's been used, you know, the more of those that you have, that's just like, oh, I don't even have the word to describe this word in English, you know?
I can't even begin to start figuring out what I'm talking about.
Or you have to, like, contextualize and be like, all right, well, in, like, 1845, you know, this happened and that happened, and so this, yeah.
You're like, okay, let me go back to... You remember typewriters. I mean, I know you don't, but idiom has to do with that. I think I might have one, too, but...
Oh, nice.
But we're Portland hipsters, you know? We're not like other girls, okay?
I'll never call a hipster. 503-231-8187.
Sorry, I was being hyperbolic. I don't think you're a hipster.
Thank you.
If that matters, I really don't think that.
I don't think I'm a hipster.
I think it's just more of like the typewriter stereotype and where we are.
I do have glasses, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you not wear those? Or no,
I'm kidding. No, I need to wear. I could try.
Are you sort of a poser, or do you like need them? Or
I'm trying to think what's something that I thought that everyone else does that really was just me. And I can't think of anything that's like lighthearted. I can only think of like really really sad things.
Yeah, we do try to keep it kind of jovial.
Yeah, to try to. Although, hey, you know, all emotions are valid and I'm here for it.
True.
And if you want to share something that you thought everyone else did that actually was just a you thing, or something that you thought that was just a you thing but actually was and has been for a long, long time, let us know. 503-231-8187. I like to say, or I like to think, that there has not been an original thought in the last 5,000 years.
Yeah. I think when I...
Oh, you agree? Oh, that was easy.
What?
I got to sell you on these things.
No, I remember when I first like heard that, and I felt... upset and annoyed. I was like, what do you mean I'm not original? But I think there's also something very like uniting about that idea, which is that there's like some fundamental humanity that we're all a part of and echoing and communicating with each other in that same way, that it's like, you know, I don't need to write the most random sentence that's never been thought of before. You don't need to do that. But there is a lot of, like, there's a ton of room for, you know, flipping existing ideas, telling jokes. I love to do that. One thing that I was thinking about of, like, something that I thought that I invented, a lot of this has to do with being a kid, but, like, you know, like, little nursery rhymes or, like, little things that kids say to each other? I was convinced that we made those up. I was like, no, what are you talking about? Like, no, my sister and I came up with that. Everyone's like, no, we all knew that, like, the jump rope song that you're talking about. Like,
I think another thing when it comes to mind is when you think that maybe, okay, this might not be what you're looking for, but you know when you think that your emotions are so unique and so, again, going back to Nietzsche, right?
Well,
you think you're so unique and everything just hurts so much, and then you find a song, right? And it like all of a sudden understands you, and all of a sudden like there's words to describe these feelings that you're feeling, and all of a sudden you don't feel so alone and misunderstood or unheard. So that's just something that came to mind as far as like what's something you think that you invented but actually ended up being someone else's idea. It's like, you know, same with love songs. It's like, you know, you don't even have the words to describe, and then you're like, oh, this song is just describing it just the way that I want to. Even better, maybe.
Yeah, I feel... Yeah, it's very easy when you're in like a heightened state of emotion, to sort of like, I mean, one, isolate as a practice, and then two, sort of, I don't know, it's navel gazing in a way of like, I am the only person who's ever felt this intensity of feeling, and no one could ever understand how I feel, which is like very angsty in a way. Which
it's
ideally we grow out of somewhat. But
that's a painful place to be. You know?
It is.
And probably not true. And if you feel that way, I'm sending you a appropriate hug.
Yes, an appropriate hug. But also just like thinking about in the context of this where, you know, these questions we're talking about, like that little bit of like, oh, reality is different than I thought that it was. Either other people knew what I'm talking about or they don't. But even just having that opportunity to connect or like even just share, and people are like, huh, well, that's never happened to me. But, you know, I think that you're doing the right thing, or I think maybe you should think about it this way, or, you know, you're not as isolated and alone as it feels like you are, you know?
Sure. I don't know. I feel like music does that a lot. At least for me, I can only speak for myself. Sometimes people don't know what you've been through, you know, and they don't relate. And sometimes saying, well, they're there, it kind of makes it worse, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's where music picks up, where like your friends or family can't.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of the difference between sympathy and empathy. And that I think even, I don't know if this is like emphasized by the internet, but you know, like relatability is a big thing, and it's what advertisers are trying to market to us now, is this like relatable thing that is mostly the same as you but a little bit out of reach because it's this particular product. Not everything has to be relatable for you to be able to emotionally connect to it, if that makes sense. Like having,
if anything, yeah, like, you know, people are like, well, that could be your mother, that could be your sister. It's like, why you gotta be family for you to respect me as a woman, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a well-placed point. Like, if you see people as people.
Sure.
If you understand that humans are very similar to you in a lot of ways. And you're, of course, an individual, but it's like this push and pull between the individual and uniqueness and the desire to be unique versus desire to be in common with others. I feel like there's kind of a tension there. And I feel like that's like a big part of growing up, is that kind of like isolating uniqueness when you're coming of age, and then realizing like, you know, other people aren't that different from me. They probably like, maybe they like other stuff, or they're like focused on different things than I am, but at the end of the day, we're all interested in the same fundamental like care of others, you know?
Sure.
I forget where I was going with this. Oh, just that things that aren't like directly connected to what your life experience is, you can still be emotionally connected to. And that's sympathy versus empathy. Empathy is like feeling what the other person is feeling because you felt it before, versus, but I feel like sympathy gets a bad rap, you know?
You're working this out. I love
it. Thank you. Sorry. Verbal vomit.
I was workshopping right now.
What'd I say the other day? Word salad. I said that to somebody and they're like, word salad. I never heard that. That's amazing.
Dress me up because I'm eating a word salad.
Hello.
There it is.
I like that one.
We have a couple of moments left. I guess folks are fogged up.
It's a foggy morning.
It
people.
Is a foggy
we
morning.
We can't blame you.
If I didn't have to be here this morning, I'd be cuddling with the dog.
Aw.
I have clean sheets on and everything.
Nice.
Yeah. Ugh, I love clean sheets. I'm trying to think of something else that you thought everyone did that only you do.
Well, let me plug the phone number one more time if folks do want to call in. 503-231-8187.
We do have a couple of moments left for the community question. No original thought in the last 5,000 years.
Yeah, we'll circle back to that.
You know, I figured that out when I watched some. I'm coming off like a hipster. I swear I'm not. Someone had given me a Hitchcock DVD box, mm-hmm. and well, the movies, and I watched them, and I'm all like, this is, you know, whatever, black and white movies. This is, well, mm-hmm. I won't be into it. Oh my God, I was in my, you know, recent contemporary self, mm-hmm. I was watching this movie and I was like, you know, I laughed, I cried, I, you know, like feeling all the feelings, and it's, and you know, it's black and white, it's very like theatrical, like, you know, mid-Atlantic accents and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get to the train. I can't do it. That wasn't it.
I like your imitation of it though.
Thank you. And the fact that it still touched me the way that it did, and it still made me feel and invoked something in me, and I could still relate to it, and then I was just like, Oh, thank God, because I felt like I was doing this roller coaster of life all alone. But mm-hmm. No, the human condition is alive and well, and I'm part of it, and I'm not that unique, and that's awesome. I know
last week I was sort of railing against English majors, and I'm sorry about that. We can put it behind us. But that just makes me think of, like, you know, why do people still want to read classic literature? Mm. Why is there still value in history and or reimagining history or understanding events or reading documents from back in the day?
Sure.
They still tell us something about what people were going through. And I think that there is, I have a different thought.
There it is.
Mythologizing of the past, saying what the past was, how it was, and how it was better than today, or it was fundamentally different from today because people today are flawed or they're to this or to that. Mm. Like, whoever gets to control that mythology has so much power. And it's not true. We've been this way for so long. And there's something so, like, liberating in a way to hear about that. Like, we've always wanted to be together. We've always wanted to be free in one way or another. We've mm-hmm. always, like, loved and cared about people. And, you know, all of those things are, like, common through lines throughout history. That it's not a new idea that, you know, there's not some, like, rich, or there's not some, like, perfect past where people were fundamentally different than they are now.
Sure, yeah. And I think that, especially when we talk about the movements that we've been seeing percolate in the last few years, when, especially ones that are led by trans and indigenous folks, where it's like, this, like, y'all might be thinking, like, just realizing this stuff now, but this is what we've been saying for a very long time. So, like, yeah. This almost, like, especially, you know, with the Don't Say Gay bill, you mm-hmm. know, where maybe if you're born in the last 20 years, you could be jarred and be like, what? We had, like, a black president, you know, there's gay marriage, like, everything is so, like, why would this even happen? Where it's like, well, if you, let's look back, like, this isn't new, baby doll. This is, you know, mm. people have been haters for a long, long time. Mm. And they've been, you know, flexing this, like, you know, government or whatever municipal muscle for a long time to squash and oppress people. And people living through it, that's not new either.
Yeah.
And people will continue to live through it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, what it brought to me when you said that.
Yeah, that's... Nothing new, nothing old, you
yes.
know?
Oh, I like that. Yes,
something
I always...
borrowed, something blue. We're getting off track. Continue,
I like to think of, I do some political education and like, popular education stuff, and I like to say that history is not in the past. Well, Faulkner says history is not in the past, but history is not in the past. It's we're living the best and the worst projects to ever fail or succeed in history. Like, we're living them, you know?
That's very interesting food for thought.
There it is.
Lots to chew on here, folks.
Yeah, this is why I told you. When I read Nietzsche, I said, oh, okay, a little home slice.
You and me will work on Nietzsche off air because I don't know if I can support it.
He loves to plagiarize. And he loves his things. Like, if you don't get what I read, it's because of you. It's not because of me. I love that, given straight Aries energy. I love it.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening to The Gap this morning.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time and attention, and we love to have the opportunity to talk to you. If you didn't feel like calling in today, that's A-okay, but you still want to get in touch with us, you can. You can send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at thegapradio, and you can always send us a snail mail, if you please, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. We really appreciate you being with us this morning. Tammy.
For sure. Again, be safe. I don't know if it's still foggy out there, but
I'll
it might
look,
be.
I'll go look, but, you know,
I suggest
obey traffic laws.
Use the turn signals.
Turn signals are great.
I love when people communicate with me in the street. Over-communicate.
Look both ways. I feel like that's important.
Up and down. All four ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, be kind to people.
Yes.
And eat your veggies if you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have some fruit, maybe give them to a neighbor or something.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Or me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it. Anyways.
Mail it too. I'm just kidding.
Mail it.
No fruit in the mail, please, folks.
Don't tell that to edible arrangements. Anyways.
Hello.
We gotta get going.
Edible arrangements catching strays out here. Okay. We gotta go. We gotta go.
We'll be back next week. Thank you all so much. See ya.
Bye.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1990.